Welcome to Tune to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levillier, and coming up in this hour, drama from the Theater Guild on the Air. This ABC broadcast from December 14th, 1947 adapts the play then-turned-motion picture The Corn is Green, based on the true story of playwright Emlyn Williams and his schoolmistress, Miss Cook. The play opened at the National Theater on Broadway on November 26th, 1940 and was seen for 477 performances, and in 1945 was turned into a motion picture with Betty Davis as star. And Mildred Dunnock, who played Miss Ronberry in the motion picture, is in the radio broadcast next, along with George Hicks, Roger Pryor, and narrator known as the First Lady of the Theater, Helen Hayes. It's the Theater Guild on the Air.
United States Steel, USS, the industrial family that serves the nation, presents the Theater Guild on the Air. Our star, Helen Hayes. Our play, The Corn is Green, by Emlyn Williams, adapted for radio by Eric Barno, and produced on the air tonight by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers. Every day, everywhere, you are served by products of steel. In your home, in your business, in your travel. The trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. And now, from Broadway, direct from the stage of the Vanderbilt Theater, the United States Steel Corporation brings you The Corn is Green. And here is Roger Pryor speaking for the Theater Guild.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight, the Theater Guild on the Air, in bringing you a cross-section of the theater, is pleased to present Emlyn Williams' moving play, The Corn is Green, starring the incomparable Helen Hayes. This play was a great success on Broadway and as a motion picture, and we raise the curtain now on the radio version of The Corn is Green, starring Helen Hayes as Miss Moffat and featuring Donald Buca as Morgan Evans, Thelma Schnee as Bessie Waddy, Mildred Dunnock as Miss Ronberry, and Malcolm Keane as the Squire. In a coal mining village in Wales, 50 years ago in 1897, the stone cottages of the miners dot the gray, barren hillside. From here, the road winds higher to a picturesque green ridge above, where several comfortable homes stand amid trees and flower gardens. In one of these houses, a genteel-looking lady is at the moment unpacking books and arranging them on shelves.
Social conflicts of the Roman Empire. Oh, dear, such problems.
Ah, Miss Ronberry.
Squire.
Just thought I'd look in on all this excitement. Any sign of the new inhabitant?
Any moment now, I think. The luggage has all arrived. I suppose the colonel is coming up from the station by bicycle. Oh, Squire, isn't it thrilling?
You seem to be working very hard, Miss Ronberry, to get things ready for this total stranger.
Well, if a colonel is coming all the way from London to live in our little village, the least a lady of good family like myself can do is to help get his home ready for him. Look at all the books that have come. And that desk. Aren't they fine and virile?
Are you hoping the colonel will live up to his desk, eh?
Squire, that's horrid.
I know you, Miss Ronberry, you husband hunter.
Well, how do you do?
How do you do, young lady?
Well, I'm glad you speak English. Everybody I talk to along the road talks that queer Welsh language. Here, hold this box, will you?
Hey, that's heavy. What's in it?
Books.
Who are you, miss?
Oh, I'm Bessie, the maid. I've been brought from London to get the country air and learn proper housekeeping.
A colonel with a female servant?
Bessie! Come out here, will you, and find a place for our bicycles?
Oh, there she goes again, always wanting something.
Perhaps there's some place in the back where... Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How do you do?
Well, Bessie, don't stand there dreaming. Put the bicycles away.
No, I don't feel like it. I feel quite faint with hunger.
Nonsense. You've been stuffing yourself with sweets the whole journey. Now, go on with you.
I'm not going to like it here. Wish I was back in London.
She's going to be a problem. Well, so this is my home.
I don't think so.
Oh, isn't this Pengarth Cottage?
Yes, it is.
Well, then that's right. It was left me by my uncle, Dr. Moffat. I'm Miss Moffat. I take it you're Miss Ronbury, who so kindly corresponded with me.
But surely those letters were written by a man.
If so, I've been grossly deceiving myself for well over 30 years.
But the way you signed your name.
My initials, L.C. Moffat. You see, I've never felt that Lily Christabel really suited me.
And I thought it meant Lieutenant Colonel. But there was a military title after it.
M.A., Master of Arts.
Arts? Do you mean the degree my father bought me when I got through Oxford?
The very same, except that I studied at London and had to work jolly hard for mine.
A female M.A. Poh, what's the world coming to?
Well, now that you know about me, what do you do?
Do? I'm afraid I don't do anything.
Squire Treverby owns the big estate and almost everything else around here.
Interesting. I've never had much to do with the landed gentry before. But I noticed your mansion as we passed by on the... Wait. What's that singing?
Miners coming home from work. They burst into song on the slightest provocation. Bless their hearts.
You mustn't take any notice. You get used to it.
I like it. Oh, look at them come.
Fine chap.
But they're so young. Some of them are just children.
Well, here they go into the mine when they're 12 years old.
12 years old? But that's monstrous.
It's always been the custom.
Well, it does seem too bad.
But that's dreadful, inhuman. Squire... And Miss Ronbury, tomorrow I want to go over that hill and have a look at that mine.
A woman go to the mine? Why, that's impossible.
Why should it be? It's very important to me. I want to see everything around here. The village, the mine, the homes, the pubs, everything.
The pubs? Oh, goodness.
My word.
I asked you over because, well, I've seen a lot of this village during the past week, and I've made up my mind. I knew this house would be important to me. I have a plan, and I need you for it.
Me?
You live alone. You have just enough money. You're not badly educated, and time lies heavy on your hands.
Why, not at all. I have my flower garden to look after.
Oh, skittles.
And when the right gentleman comes along...
He may have lost his way, Miss Ronbury. Now, why don't you face the fact and enjoy yourself as I do?
But haven't you ever hoped that a man would...
Oh, no, no, no. I've never talked to a man for more than 5 minutes without wanting to box his ears. Meanwhile, I've worked in London's East End.
Social service.
If you like. Now, look, how many children in this village can read or write?
Hardly any. The nearest school.
I know, 16 miles away.
Why do you ask?
Because I'm going to start a school.
Whatever for?
What for? See those books? Hundreds of them. And something wonderful to read in every single one. These nippers are to be cut off from all that forever, are they? Why? Because they happen to be born in this benighted century to work in a black dungeon at the age of 12?
Well, that's right. It is awful.
It's infamous, Miss Ronbury. I'm going to start a school. I'm going to buy that barn next door, and you're going to help me.
But those children, don't they earn wages? Will their parents allow them to come?
I'll pay their parents the few miserable pennies they get out of it. Oh, yes, we'll have opposition from parents and others, too. But can you tell me anything decent and sensible that isn't fought tooth and nail? We'll do it, Miss Ronbury. What do you say?
Oh, I'd like to. I'd like to.
Then we'll start at once.
Now the whole class together.
Missy Clark and I am full of you and all of fancy. Will be beguiled your wedded queen, a
English translation?
Yes,
Miss Montgomery.
Then take that home and study it. And tomorrow we'll sing it in English. Now a short recess outside, and then Miss Moffat will be ready for your lesson in rhetoric. Class dismissed.
Good evening, Miss Ronboy.
Hello, Bessie.
Would you like a sweet?
No, thank you, Bessie. No sweets. Have you had another walk?
Yes, all by myself.
Shut the door, will you?
Oh, I do miss London and all the shops. I'd like to be always shopping, Sundays and all.
Bessie, how absurd.
Miss Ronbury, is it true the school idea isn't going on so well?
Who told you that?
Oh, we've been here 6 weeks and all we have is a class or two each evening.
Everything is going splendidly.
Oh, I'm glad. Miss Moffat lies to me, but I don't bear no grudge.
Lies to you?
She says my sweets are bad for me, and it says right here on the bag they're nourishing. Do you think I'm pretty?
Such talk. Why are you holding your hair like that?
These are my curls. Do you think they're nice?
They may be nice, but it's all wrong, I'm sure.
I've been holding each curl around my finger till it was all right. Oh, my finger's aching something terrible.
Oh, Miss Ronbury, finished your class?
Just dismiss them till you're ready for them.
I will be in a moment. Bessie, have you nothing better to do than curl your hair and suck sweets?
What do you want me to do?
Don't you ever tidy your kitchen. It's a disgrace. Go and clean it.
All right, all right.
She's not one of my successes, I'm afraid. I took her from a dreadful home in the slums, but I'm not sure it's going to work out.
She's not very tidy. By the way, there's some letters. One from Sir Herbert Veazey.
Oh, about the barn next door. Well, of all the exasperating...
What is it, Miss Moffat?
Sir Herbert says he still can't decide about selling us the barn for our classes.
But why can't he?
That's what I'd like to know. He'd already said it was no use to him, and my references were the best.
Sit down, Miss Moffat. You look tired.
It's been a bit of a day. A request from the public house not to go on with the school, in case it interferes with beer swilling and games of chance. A message from the chapel people that I am a foreign adventuress with cloven feet. A bit of a day.
I expect it has been.
By the way, what was that small crate outside?
Oh, that's our school bell. It arrived just at tea time.
Oh, I'm glad.
Do let's have the boys put it right up. It'll bring us luck.
If it keeps them out of mischief till I'm ready for them, fine. I would like a little time to go through these letters.
I'll go out back and tell them at once. Oh, I'm so excited about this.
Dear madam, as a respectable tavern keeper in this village, I wish to protest against...
Jolly good evening, Mistress Pedagog. Remember me?
Yes, Squire. Would you mind going outside, knocking, and waiting quite a long time before I say come in?
Oh. Parlor games, what? Tap, tap, 1, 2, 3, 4, come in and forward march? My dear madam, you're not in class now.
I'm rather irritable this evening. And as you see, my desk is piled with unfinished work. So unless there's a reason for your visit, Squire...
Oh, but there is. Very important message from a gent that's been dining with me. Sir Herbert Veazey.
Yes? What is it?
He's definitely decided he'll not sell the barn as a school.
He implied in his first letter that he would be willing.
Ah, then some bigwig must have made him change his mind, mustn't he?
You?
Madam, I have been eyeing your activities from afar, and it is with... disapproval and...
It's unwise to embark on a speech with the vocabulary of a child of five.
I'm not going to have any of this hanky-panky in my village.
Your village?
My village. Now, my dear madam...
And stop calling me your dear madam. I'm not married and I'm not French and you haven't the slightest affection for me.
Listen to me. All my life, I've done my level best for the villagers. They call me Squire, you know. Term of affection. Jolly touching. I mean, they get a hamper every Christmas, a whopping tankard of beer on my birthday, and on my 21st, they all got a mug.
Go on.
Well, whoever putting them up to read English and giving them ideas, what on earth are you trying to do?
I'm beginning to wonder myself.
Why don't you take up croquet and keep yourself out of mischief? Well, my dear lady, if there's anything I can do to make your stay here a happier one...
Wait a minute.
Yes?
I know I should be sticking a pin in a whale, but here are just two words about yourself. You are the Squire Bountiful, are you? Adored by his contented subjects?
Well,
I should like to point out that there is a considerable amount of dirt, ignorance, and misery in this village, and that much of it is due to you, because you are a stupid, conceited, addle-headed nincompoop,
what?
And you can go to blue blazes.
Right.
Good night.
Mr. Was that the squire you were talking to?
It was.
Has he been nasty? It's so unlike the squire.
Oh, no, no. He was kindness itself. He advised me to go and live in a hole in the ground with my knitting. He's persuaded Sir Herbert not to sell the barn.
Oh, dear. What will you do?
Give up. Sell the house. You got a handkerchief? I want to blow my nose.
Here.
Thanks.
It is too bad. I felt I was really being useful.
Well, we'll let the tradespeople know. The tavern keeper will be reassured. What are these filthy exercise books doing among my papers?
They belong to the boys you picked out, the ones who could already write English.
Oh?
Those are the essays you asked for.
How I would spend my holiday. I must have been mad.
I wonder what they're like. If I has ever a holiday, I has breakfast and talks, then dinner and a rest, tea, then nothing, then supper, then I talk, and I go sleep.
From exhaustion, no doubt. Oh, yes, the squire was right. I've been a stupid and impractical ass. And I can't imagine how...
What is it? What's the matter?
The mine is dark. If a light come in the mine, the rivers in the mine will run fast with the voice of many women. The walls will fall in, and it will be the end of the world.
We put up the bell, miss. What shall we do now?
Shh, do go on, Miss Moffat.
So the mine is dark. But when I walk through the something shaft in the dark, I can touch with my hands the leaves on the trees and underneath where the corn is green. Yes, young man?
Go on reading.
There is a wind in the shaft. Not carbon monoxide they tell about. It smelled like the sea, only like as if the sea had fresh flowers lying about. And that is my holiday. Are you Morgan Evans?
Yes, miss.
Did you write this?
No, miss.
It's in your book.
Yes, miss.
Did you write this?
What is the matter with it?
Sit down. Take your cap off. Spelling's deplorable, of course. Mine with two N's.
What was it by rights, miss?
Don't call me miss. Have you any hobbies?
Oh, yes.
What?
Rum.
Rum?
A bottle of rum.
Do you live with your parents?
No. By me own self. My mother is dead, and my father and my four big brothers was in the big shaft accident 5 years ago.
Killed?
Oh, yes. Everybody was.
Who taught you to read and write?
Taught?
Taught. The verb to teach.
Oh, teached.
Who taught you?
I did.
Why?
I don't know.
What books have you read?
Books? Oh, a bit of the Bible. And a book that I made from the squire's house nab for me. The Lady's Companion. Can I go now, please?
No. Do you want to learn more?
No, thank you.
Why not?
The other men would have a good laugh.
I see. Have you ever written anything before the exercise?
No.
Why not?
Nobody never asked me to. What is the matter with it?
Nothing's the matter with it. Whether it means anything is too early for me to say. But it shows exceptional talent for a boy in your circumstances.
Terrible long words, Miss Moffat.
This shows that you are very clever.
Oh?
Have you ever been told that before?
It is news to me.
What effect does the news have on you?
It is a bit sudden. It makes me that I want to get more clever still. I want to know what is behind all of them books.
Can you come tomorrow evening? In the meantime, I'll correct this for spelling and grammar.
Oh, yes, Miss Moffat.
That will be all. Good night.
Good night, Miss Moffat.
Miss Rondry.
Yes?
I have been a fool. It doesn't matter about the barn. We'll go on. Classes in the evening and a few full-time students here in this room. I'm going to get some of those youngsters out of the mine if I have to black my face and go down and fetch them myself. We're going on with the school.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm so glad.
And when I walk in the dark, I can touch with my hands where the corn is green.
You are listening to The Corn is Green, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here speaking for United States Steel is George Hicks.
Good evening. Tonight's play, The Corn is Green, tells an inspiring and challenging story. Inspiring because it shows how much one courageous woman can accomplish when she fights for an ideal. Challenging because this story of how the light of education was brought many years ago into the darkened lives of young Welsh coal miners makes us conscious of our own present responsibilities to make our American schools better and better. Indeed, the future of America and of the entire world depends to a very large extent on schools and school teachers. Theirs is a great responsibility. Let us do everything in our power to help them meet this responsibility effectively. Of course, this is an especially important and challenging play for the United States Steel Corporation, because subsidiaries of this company own and operate many large coal mines. I think you'll be interested to hear about the educational opportunities that exist for children in the communities where these U.S. steel coal mines are operated. Unlike tonight's play, which is set in a small town in Wales 50 years ago, there are no children working in any American coal mine. And in communities where U.S. steel coal mines are located, there are well-staffed and well-equipped grade and high schools. A large number of these miners' children go on to institutions of higher learning, and from these to successful careers in their chosen fields. What's more, these miners and their families occupy comfortable homes at rents which are usually far below those of similar houses in surrounding communities. Modern stores operated by Union Supply Company, a U.S. steel subsidiary, furnish food, clothing, and other merchandise at prices competitive with those of other local stores. Opportunities for recreational and religious activities are many. And in those locations where public hospitals are too distant, company-operated hospitals and company-sponsored medical care are provided. The United States Steel Corporation is proud of the progress that's been made and is being made in these coal mining communities, just as it's proud of the red-blooded American miners who produce the coal that's so essential to its manufacturing operations. They are indeed a very vital part of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
We pause now for station identification.
Your station is KECA, Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
Now the curtain rises on the second act of The Corn is Green, starring Helen Hayes as Miss Moffat and featuring Donald Buca as Morgan Evans, Thelma Schnee as Bessie Watty, Mildred Dunnock as Miss Ronbury, and Malcolm Keane as the Squire. Have gone by in Miss Moffat's home and school in the mining village in Wales. And now, on a warm spring afternoon, Miss Ronberry is correcting papers at her desk in the living room, long since converted into a classroom. Meanwhile, Bessie is supposedly dusting.
Oh.
Bessie, what's the matter with you?
I feel quite faint, as though the world were coming to an end.
Why, how horrid.
I'd best sit down. I got perfume on my hands, Miss Ronberry. Like to smell them?
I can smell them from here, thank you, Bessie.
Oh, it's lovely.
You'd better get busy, young lady. Miss Moffat will come out of her office and scold you again. She's not fooled by this nonsense.
Yeah, her and her Morgan Evans, that's all she thinks about.
Well, she says Evans is very brilliant. She has some special plans for him, I know.
Stuck-up teacher's pet.
Miss Moffat, dear, I've finished my work.
Come in, Evans. I'll call her. Miss Moffat?
Come in. Ah, there you are, Evans. Finished your work?
Yes, Miss Moffat.
How many pages?
9.
3 too many. Boil down to 6. Have you got those lines of Voltaire?
Yes, Miss Moffat.
It's just 5 o'clock. Have your walk now, good and brisk.
Yes, Miss Moffat.
But kill 2 birds and get the Voltaire by heart. Back in 20 minutes and take that pen from behind your ear. Let me know when you get back.
Now turn a somersault and beg.
What did you say?
Bessie.
Can you smell perfume, Morgan Evans?
Yes.
Nice, isn't it?
Where are you going?
Goodbye.
Stuck up. You know where he's going now, don't you, Miss Ronberry?
For a walk.
Oh, it's been extra lessons with teacher every day, hasn't it, since he left the mines? And long walks in between to blow the cobwebs away. Oh, last week or two, I hear he's been breaking his journey.
How do you mean, Bessie?
A glass of rum down the road at the Guesmorons pub, and then another, and then another, and...
Ron, do you know anything about these 2 bills?
2 more accounts, I'm afraid.
Ah, yes. Evans' new suit and the Greek books.
Greek? Whatever for?
Don't ask me what I'm hatching, Ron, because I can't tell you yet. But my plans are laid. Is this fresh drinking water?
Yes, I just filled the carafe.
Good.
Oh, dear.
Bessie, what is that dying duck business?
Yes, Miss Moffat.
Explain yourself. Are you dusting this room or aren't you?
It's my inside.
What's the matter with your inside?
It goes round and round. It's been going on for 2 years now. It's all this hard work.
What hard work?
I hear it ends in everything rotting away.
Now listen to me, Bessie. The work you do here each week isn't worth one pin. And I'm giving you final warning. I'll inspect this room in 20 minutes and I want it clean. Now quick, march.
I won't do it.
What did you say?
Everybody's against me. I'm going to throw myself off of a cliff and kill myself. That's what I'm going to do. Make a nice case in the papers. Me in pieces at the bottom of a cliff.
Bessie, quiet.
I'm going mad. Mad, and I'm going to kill myself. Nothing's going to stop me.
Calm down, Bessie.
Doomed, dead at the bottom of a cliff. Dead. Dead. Dead.
Quiet. Now, calm down.
What do you mean, throwing that water in my face?
I just wanted you to control yourself. Are you back to your senses?
Oh, I can't remember anything. I'm in a coma.
Then you may sit on your bed for an hour with the door locked and try to remember. Come on, upstairs with you.
All right, don't push me.
Tomorrow you'll go back to London because I'm finished with you, Bessie. I'll write to a friend to place you in service there somehow. I'm sure you'll like that better.
Got everything planned, haven't you?
Now in you go.
Make people jump through hoops, don't you?
Inside.
You'll regret this.
Yes.
Miss Moffat's having something to eat. I'll tell her you're back.
I don't want to see no Miss Moffat.
You mean I don't want to see Miss Moffat? The double negative, you know.
Now, don't you start. I like the double negative. It says what I want the way I like it.
Morgan, I'm surprised at you.
And so am I. Shocked at myself. Going inside of one of them public houses, putting my dainty lady fingers on that detestable mucky counter, and pouring poison rum down me nice, clean tea.
Morgan Evans, I've never seen you like this
before.
Well,
from now on, there are going to be plenty of...
Ah, there you are, Evans. Have you had a good walk?
Yes, Miss Moffat.
Can you repeat the Voltaire?
Not yet.
It's very short.
Paper blowed away.
Ah. Copy it again, will you, and bring it to me. You can go into my office there.
Yes, Miss Moffat.
Do you think perhaps he's studying too hard?
Oh, he has the most brilliantly receptive brain I've ever come across. He's ready for anything that he...
Wait a minute. I wonder if... Ah, yes, it is.
Who?
Royalty and all the Grand Lamas rolled into one. The squire.
Oh, dear.
Let me have your shawl, quickly. I need it to make an impression.
What sort of impression?
Helpless and clinging, if I can manage it. Now then, open the door.
Come in, squire.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Your hat, squire?
No, thank you. I'm not staying.
Miss Rondry, dear, these roses are dying. Would you give them a little fresh water? I have such a headache, I don't think... Squire.
You wrote to me. Perhaps you've forgotten.
Oh, how could I forget? I only feared you might still hold against me my overwrought behavior when you last visited us 2 years ago. Miss Rombry, dear, some water for my roses.
Yes, I'll take them.
Thank you all. Thank you.
I haven't a great deal of time to spare, I fear.
Oh, no, of course you haven't. Sit down. Oh, dear.
Oh, headache.
Squire, you see before you a tired woman. I have learnt how right you were that night.
Oh, fair of you to admit it, I must say.
You see, in one's womanly enthusiasm, one forgets that the qualities vital to success are completely lacking in one. Intelligence, courage, authority, the qualities, in short, of a man.
Oh, you mustn't be too hard on yourself.
Please, excuse me.
It's all right, Evans. Have you copied it?
Yes, Miss Moffat.
Well, just take another breath of fresh air, will you? I'll talk with you presently.
Thank you. Excuse me, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Nice, well-spoken lad.
I'm glad you think so, Squire. He used to be one of the miners.
One of our Welsh lads?
Yes. He's the problem I should like your advice about.
What's he been up to? Bit of muslin? That little cockney filly?
Bessie? Oh, no, I assure you.
Oh, I don't know.
No. But he's a problem just the same. And like a woman, I shall have to scream for help to a man. To you.
Oh, scream away, dear lady. Scream away.
And if you try to stay in this room, I shall strike you so hard, I shall probably kill you. I mean every word of that.
Well, 3 hours will go soon enough.
Take her, Miss Rombry.
I won't leave her one moment.
Squire.
Good morning.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Such a dreadful day, isn't it? Oh, yes, you have the exam.
Here it is. Sealed envelope. Arrived from Oxford 2 days ago. Looks frightening, what?
Let me take your coat.
Thanks. I say, I've got a spiffy bit of news for you.
Yes?
I've bought the barn from Sir Herbert. And we can move the classes next door by March. What do you think?
Wonderful.
Here's the dad. Good morning, boy.
Good morning, sir.
Are you wet, Evans?
No, thank you.
Let me take your things.
Thank you.
Now, Evans, the squire has the examination questions in that sealed envelope. Before we open it, though, I have a feeling they may bring up Henry VIII. Memorize the facts I've written down on this paper.
Henry VIII and the religious conflicts of his time. Oh, yes, yes. All right. I've got that now.
Good. Give me back the paper.
Yeah.
Now, sit down at the desk here.
Thank you.
Good luck, my boy. And remember, I've got my eye on you.
Yes, sir.
Don't get too exuberant.
No.
Or too illegible.
No.
Now, good luck, Morgan.
Thank you.
Ready?
Yes.
Open the envelope, Miss Moffat.
First question. Henry VIII.
You are listening to The Corn is Green, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. Here again, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
Half a century ago, about the time of tonight's play, the average coal mine in this country was far different from what it is today. Down through the years, the coal mine has become not only more efficient and more productive, but first and foremost, it's become a safer place to work. I think the story of Robina Mine of the H.C. Frick Coke Company, a United States Steel subsidiary, is typical of what has been done in the way of modernizing and improving mining conditions. Robina Mine, 80 river miles south of Pittsburgh, is the biggest coal mine in the world. And what's even more important, it's designed to be the safest. The latest type machines do all the drilling, cutting, and loading. And a complex system of electric locomotives and conveyor belts speeds the coal out of the mine to a preparation plant where it's processed and then delivered to river barges for shipment to the Pittsburgh area. There, much of it is made into coke to be used in steel making. Miners working at Robina are safe for many reasons. Not only because machines do practically all the heavy work, but many of the main underground passageways of the mine are supported with steel beams, similar to New York's famed subways. For ventilation, almost a million cubic feet of fresh air moves through the mine every minute. Everywhere, the latest safety devices are in use. And, of course, the men themselves are well trained to practice safety first. Next in importance to safety is maximum production. Out of Robina Mine, when fully completed, will come 20,000 tons of coal every day. That's enough coal to heat your own home for the next 2,000 years. Robina Mine has been in operation now a little over a year, but it took many years of planning, experimenting, and building before such a mine could become a reality. This forward thinking, this planning for better working conditions first, and higher production second, is typical, I think, of all members of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation.
Now the curtain rises on the third act of The Corn is Green, starring Helen Hayes and featuring Donald Buca, Thelma Schnee, Mildred Dunnock, and Malcolm Keane. Seven months have gone by since Morgan Evans took his preliminary exam for Oxford, an exam which he passed so that he was summoned to Oxford for the final elimination. And now, back in the waiting village, comes the day when...
Morgan!
Miss Moffat!
Morgan Evans, you're back. How are you? Quick, tell me, what's the news?
But no news yet. We'll know soon if I've won.
Well, how was it?
I had trouble with the Greek verbs.
That may not mean anything.
I was terribly nervous.
The boys in the school are all dressed up in their best, waiting for you to return. It was stupid of them, because if you failed, it will make you still more sick at heart.
If I failed? Don't speak about it.
But we must. You faced the idea the day you left for Oxford.
I know, but I have been to Oxford for just 2 weeks and come back from the world. Since the day I was born, I've been a prisoner behind a stone wall. And now somebody has given me a leg up to have a look at the other side. Oh, they cannot drag me back again. They cannot. They must give me a push and send me over.
I've never heard you talk so much since I've known you.
That's just it. I can talk now. All the days I was there, I was talking my head off. There in Oxford, I went about with a feeling like rum in the old days.
Go on.
One night, after talking for hours with one of the other candidates, I went walking. There was a moon behind the college. And against that moon, I suddenly saw this room. And everything I've ever learned from those books and from you was lighted up like a magic lantern. Ancient Rome, Greece, Shakespeare, Carlyle, Milton, everything had a meaning. Because I was in a new world. My world. And so it came to me. Why, you've worked like a slave to make me ready for this scholarship. I finished.
I didn't want you to stop.
I can talk to you too now.
I'm glad you can. I'll open it. Good morning, Squire.
Morning. How's the... Morgan, my lad.
Squire, how do you do, sir?
Well, what news?
Oh, they're going to send us the results in a day or two.
The devil they are. I'm finding this waiting a definite strain.
I'm sorry, sir.
Morgan, how are you?
Hello, Miss Ronberry.
I thought I saw you come in. Any news?
We'll know soon, Ron, dear. Nothing yet.
I just left my geography class over in the barn in our new schoolroom. They'd so much like to see you, Morgan, and hear about your trip to Oxford.
Well, I'll go over by and by.
Will you go now? They're waiting right now.
Well, if you say so.
You go on back and talk to them. I'll follow in just a moment.
Very well.
You seemed anxious to get rid of him. What's up?
Yes, what is it?
I had to get him out the back way because coming up the road all dressed up, I just saw...
Hello.
Bessie.
That too. Squire. How's every little thing blooming?
Yes, thank you.
Hello, Miss Ronnieberry. How's geography? The world's still going round in circles?
Oh, yes.
Why have you come here, Bessie? I sent you a letter to London 3 days ago.
I got it. And the money, too. And all the other letters and all the other money. What I want now is Morgan Evans.
What on earth is all this about?
Bessie, you made me a promise that if I...
I changed my mind. There's been too much ushing up about this. Better that a few more should know.
What does she mean?
I'll tell you, Squire.
Bessie, if you...
And you can't stop me, Miss Moffat.
No. No, I can't.
You see, Squire, I've had a baby boy. 7 pounds, 13 ounces.
I see.
Isn't it dreadful? If I had a wedding ring on, you'd think it was sweet. And that's why I'm here.
Well, I think I'd better be going. I've never heard such conversation outside of a courtroom. Good day, everyone.
Good day, Squire.
And I'll get back to my class and keep them all busy and out of the way.
Yes, do that, Ron.
I will.
Well, Bessie, the schoolmistress is learning a lesson, isn't she? Nature giving civilization a nasty tweak of the nose.
You know what? I did it all to spite you.
And do you think you'll be happy married to Morgan Evans?
Oh, I don't want to marry him. My friend is furious about the whole thing.
Your friend?
Oh, ever such a nice gentleman, sporting. He owns a race course. I met him a few months ago when I was working behind a bar.
This man of yours, doesn't he want to marry you?
No, he won't talk of anything else. But he won't have the baby. So, I've got to give up my friend and marry Morgan Evans. It's a pity because my friend worships me. He keeps sending me telegrams. I got one at the station, isn't it, Rich?
You seem to be doing very well, Bessie. Your clothes are very ornamental.
He treats me very well. I don't suppose Morgan would take the baby without me.
What?
Well, after all, life hasn't begun yet for me. I'm just getting a taste for it. What do I want with a baby?
Wait a minute. I have an idea.
Oh, yes?
No, it's mad, it's ridiculous.
Well, what's your idea?
Suppose I adopt the baby.
Oh, Miss Moffat. Then I could marry my friend and Morgan Evans need never know about it. And the baby might even grow up to be a nice fellow, you know?
Quite possible.
Oh, please do it, Miss Moffat.
Still, babies, I don't know anything about them.
Oh, they're easy. I've had no trouble at all.
Do you swear that you would never let Morgan Evans know the truth?
Oh, I swear. If there are any questions, I'll say it was my friend's.
Then I will.
Oh, my friend will be so pleased. I'll pop back to the station and send him a nice telegram back. Goodbye. We'll arrange all the details later, shall we?
Very well.
Oh, Miss Moffat, that cold water you threw in my face didn't really do the trick, did it? Goodbye.
Me with a baby. Am I going mad?
Where is she? Has she gone?
Who? What do you mean?
I just talked to the squire. Where's Bessie? The squire just told me
the
that...
The fool, the idiotic fool!
Then it is true. He thought I knew. Then he said it was for the best that I ought to be told. Funny. She and I, we do not know each other at all. If you and I had not made that bad quarrel that time, it might never have happened. Why should this be?
Steady, I have a plan. I'm going to adopt it.
What do you take me for? What on earth do you take me for?
Then what would you like to do?
It is only a question of what I am going to do. Marry her.
I knew this would happen. I knew.
Well, Dale says that when I've brought it upon my head, and I should know
Moffat,
better than...
Miss Moffat, look. A telegram from Oxford.
Oxford.
Open it quickly.
You have won the scholarship. Our proud congratulations.
Oh. Glorious. Congratulations, Morgan.
Congratulations.
Miss Ronberry, dismiss your class. We'll close school for the rest of the day.
Oh, I will, Mom.
Look at me, Morgan. If ever anybody has been at the crossroads, you are now.
I have a duty to her and to the child. I shall find a job somewhere in the mines.
Will the child be better off brought up by Bessie in a slum home? Besides, Bessie doesn't want to marry you. She wants to marry someone else. She doesn't want the child, and I'm willing to look after it. If you behave as I want you to behave. Oh, yes. You have a duty.
A duty to you?
No, no, no. Oh, no. Once I would have said a duty to me, but that time you showed your teeth. That day when I taunted you with ingratitude, I should have realized that a debt of gratitude is the most humiliating debt of all. And that a little show of affection would have wiped it out. I offer you that affection today.
Why are you saying this to me now?
Because, as the moments are passing, I know that I'm never going to see you again.
Never again? But why?
Since I am adopting the child, it's best that you shouldn't come and see me. Common sense. You've been given the push over the wall you asked for.
How can I never come back after everything you have done for me?
Morgan Evans, I said you had no duty to me. Your duty now is to the world.
To the world?
I rather made out to the squire I wanted you to be a writer. I really wanted so much more, I didn't dare to say it. You have brains, shrewdness, eloquence, imagination. And Oxford will give you enough of the graces.
For what?
Maybe to become a great man of our country. If a light come into the mine, you said that, remember?
Yes.
Make that light come into the mine and save those children. Perhaps I'm mad. I don't know. We'll see. It will be up to you.
I do not know what to say.
Then don't say it.
I've been so much time in this room.
And the lessons are over.
I shall always remember.
Will you? I'm glad. Listen, they're singing for your victory.
Fallen on the Theater Guild on the Air production of The Corn is Green by Emlyn Williams, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation, starring Helen Hayes as Ms. Moffat, and featuring Donald Buca as Morgan Evans, Thelma Schnee as Bessie Waddy, Mildred Dunnock as Miss Ronberry, and Malcolm Keane as the Squire. And here is Roger Pryor with a word about next week's play.
In response to many requests, ladies and gentlemen, and especially for Christmas, the Theater Guild on the Air next week brings you a success of its first season, Little Women, starring Katharine Hepburn and Paul Lucas. Little Women is beloved by men and women alike and by all generations. Both Katharine Hepburn and Paul Lucas will play the roles which they created in the motion picture version, Joe and the Professor. So be sure to listen to our holiday season presentation of Little Women, starring Katharine Hepburn and Paul Lucas.
Remember next week, Little Women, starring Katharine Hepburn and Paul Lucas. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. The Theater Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Lawrence Langner and Teresa Helburn, with Homer Fickett directing. Carol Irwin is production executive and Armina Marshall, executive director. Music was composed and conducted by Harold Levy. The Corn is Green was presented through the courtesy of Warner Brothers Pictures, producers of the motion picture and of the forthcoming musical, My Wild Irish Rose, starring Dennis Morgan.
This is your announcer, Norman Brokenshire, reminding you to help fight tuberculosis. Buy Christmas seals and use them on all your letters and parcels. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at this same time.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
The Corn is Green by Emlyn Williams, adapted on the Theater Guild on the Air from December 14th, 1947 on ABC. Wrapping up this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark the Villanier. Thanks for listening.